one day.
A blessed good morning to all who have tuned in to the Because He Lives program, sponsored by Federal Mother Spirits and the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District. Today, I want to welcome Mrs. Myra Rouse, with whom I will be conversing about that very important theme, which was started on July 7th and continued on July 14th with Mrs. Marcia Graham, former educator and former director of Paradus. The theme on the review for those who are tuning in for the first time is Restoring God's Value for Children. We earlier established that the theme is biblical as we looked at Psalm 127 verse 3, which says children are a heritage of the Lord. Psalm 8 verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou ordained strength. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses gave specific instructions on how to instill God's value in our children. Continue on the biblical base, demonstrating how God values children, we find that in Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4, some followers came to Jesus and asked him, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" What Jesus did would have shocked everyone. He called a little child and placed the child before his followers. He told them, "They must change and become like little children." Verse 4 says, "The greatest person in the kingdom of heaven is the one who makes himself or herself humble like this little child." He continued, "Whosoever accepts a child in my name accepts me." He went on further to warn us that if anyone causes any of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better that a large stone be tied around their necks and they be drowned in the depths of the sea. Oh, we say, what harsh words coming from Jesus. But this points out the value God places on children. It also has implications for parents, significant others in children's lives, teachers, church people, and we can go on to name. Children are important to God. He starts with them. He values them. He places high priority on them. Now, Myrel, you have a lot of experience working with children. You are district director for the Nazarene Discipleship International Ministry, which caters for children along with single ministries, family life ministries, men ministries, women ministries. Clearly, you have a good understanding of how God values children. And you see this as exemplified in the quiz ministry, the camp ministry, vacation Bible school ministry, children's gala, and recently you had another function called Praise Glow.
Glow Praise.
Glow Praise, yes, Glow Praise 2024. So you're teaching children how to praise the Lord.
Well, this one was an effort to raise funds in the department for children's ministry.
Yes.
But we did have a worship session, especially for children very beginning.
We need to teach our children how to worship God from early, how to praise God, how to worship God. So that was a very great initiative. Not only was a fundraiser, it was a very important fundraiser, but look at the motive for it. You know, it really involved the children in teaching them to worship. And that verse in Psalm 8, verse 2, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou ordained strength." Some commentators say, "Has thou ordained praise."
Yes.
So out of the mouth of the babes, God gets praise. So when that baby comes out and starts the ball, that is a sign of praising God. It's a sign of giving God praise. It's something the doctors God gives them. Listen to that. They make them praise God. But they start from early. So we see God has really, God is awesome. Oh,
yes,
God
is
so awesome.
Yes.
God is so awesome. So we thank you so much for what you're doing. In addition to all of that, I am very curious about your embracing education as one of your ministries. You are the home school teacher of your children. And that's what fascinates me.
All right.
And
right.
I think it's so relevant to the theme that we're having today. So tell me something though. What motivated you to undertake such a great responsibility?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the program, sister.
You're welcome. Eversley,
and good morning to our radio listeners. I think one of the first things It's the thought. It started as a thought between myself and my husband.
Okay.
Even before we knew there was the opportunity to homeschool.
Okay.
When our first daughter, our daughter Abigail, was about the preschool age, mm-hmm. we thought to ourselves, you know, it would be interesting if we could homeschool Abigail. But realizing or thinking at the time that this was not something that was available to us, we continued on the usual path of preschool and moving her on to primary school. And we continued that path with our two sons as well. It was when she was, I think, in infant's ear, someone gave us a Better Health magazine to read. And we were reading it and I was looking through it, and then suddenly I realized there was an article where a young lady had been homeschooled in Barbados. And I took it to my husband and said, look, this has been done here. We paid no attention to it in any big way because, of course, the children were already in school. But in 2017, I was given the opportunity to travel to Indianapolis to our Nazarene General Assembly.
Yes.
And there was a huge emphasis on intentional discipling.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, they spoke about the need to win a child early. I think it was either by the time they're 12 or 14. And after that, it becomes so much more difficult.
I would say from earlier than that, because mm-hmm. there's another denomination which says, give me a child up to age 7, and they will guarantee that that child will stay with
wow.
them. Yes,
wow.
or even before age 14. Yes.
Well, my daughter was about 8 then, and I yes. was thinking, oh dear, that only leaves a couple of years
yeah.
for me to really mm-hmm. intentionally bring her up in the admonition of the Lord. And so I thought about it then. Again, I paid no big attention to it, but we went to a few workshops while I was there. One of the workshops was discipleship in the home.
Okay.
With a guy, Matt Friedman, I think he was. And he spoke about this same homeschooling. When I left that workshop, I thought to myself, no, maybe this is something we should consider.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back home and I mentioned it to my husband that I had been at this workshop, and I took home the book and everything, and we, you know, we talked about it a bit. And he told me, let's talk about it some more, let's think about it, let's pray about it. And he didn't dismiss it right away. He didn't dismiss it. We just said we would pray about it and we would think about it. And we decided to do some research as well. So I went into the public library and I went into the teacher area because I figured, well, if there's any information to be had, it would be found in the teacher's area.
Mm-hmm.
I was standing there, I was looking at the books, and I'm thinking, there is nothing here on homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
And this young lady came up to me and she said, are you a teacher?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I'm just looking here to see if there's something on homeschooling children here. She said, you want to homeschool your child? I said, yes, I'm thinking about it. And right there and then, this lady told me every step I had to take in order
Whoa.
To homeschool. Mm. And then she said to me, now you give it a try. And she just said, someone is coming to pick me up. And she left. She was there 1 minute. She was telling me everything. And then she was gone.
Yes.
I don't even know her name.
Yes.
But she told me every step that I had to take.
Wow, talk about angels. But God always directing our decisions,
yes,
you know, that sort
yes,
of thing.
It
we
is
have
so
to really
true.
Think about that. So what were some necessary steps that you embraced to start this homeschooling? What you had to do?
Well, first you have to make an application. You have to apply to the Ministry of Education.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just take your child out of school and
yes,
decide,
yes, yes.
okay, I'm homeschooling,
okay.
you know, this
mm-hmm.
is it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take that step of applying to the Ministry of Education for
mm-hmm.
permission to
mm-hmm.
homeschool your
mm-hmm.
child. And after that application, there's an interview to see what direction you're going to go in,
mm-hmm.
what type of curriculum you might be using and things like that.
Okay.
Yes, you have
yes,
to take
yes,
that step.
Yeah. Mm. So how many children do you have?
I have 3.
What are the ages?
Well, the oldest is Abigail. Abigail is going to be 15
mm-hmm.
in October.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathan is 13. Jonathan is going to be 12 on Saturday. Happy
oh.
birthday, Jonathan.
That's right. That's right. Happy birthday, Jonathan. And what fascinates me more, I thought was only at the primary level, but you are also homeschooling them up to secondary level. Yes. At the secondary level, you have to be a very strong person to be with your children. Say 24 hours, because so many parents are sometimes glad to let them go on to school and get me a break. And here you are homeschooling your children from primary and up to secondary. But I'm saying that, you know, I believe that that was a great step. Now, we are not here on this program this morning propagating homeschooling. We are not doing that. Mm-hmm. But because of the theme, I felt like Mary would be a good person to share with us and help us to see, you know, how we can merge education, how we can use, impress on our children how much yes. God loves and cares for them and how much He values them. And education has to be a part of that.
Definitely.
Right? Yes. The home is the most important part, as we discussed earlier, last two Sundays. But then education has to come into play its role, you know. And I'm so glad that you could be able to give us some tips and that sort of thing. You know, discuss it,
yes.
you know. Because you never know who another parent will be like you, trying to think what to do. And now she hears you, she might be able to,
yes.
to help.
And it's definitely you also, an option.
And if you have an option, you can call in and get your number and talk to you. So tell me some of the benefits you experience in homeschooling, though.
Well, definitely there's the one-on-one benefit.
Yes.
You know, in a classroom, there are 20 to 30 mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. The one-on-one is not always very easy. Mm-hmm. But at home, mm-hmm. we can have one-on-one sessions. Sometimes we can stop the lesson mm-hmm. when we find that the child is having a difficulty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that lesson some more. We can explore it. We can mm-hmm. go further into it. Mm-hmm. There's not the
push to rush it.
Yes, yeah, right. onto the next topic and onto something.
Yes,
So there's that one-on-one. Of course, there's the flexibility. Mm-hmm. I don't have to rush around to get to school to catch the bus. I love that part of it. Yeah. I must be honest, mm-hmm. from and to school, if there are doctor appointments, you can take your books with you. We've taken our books with us and they have done their work.
Yeah.
Sometimes they might leave them at home and come home and do it because school is always on.
Yeah, school is always on.
Pretty much. Yes. You know, I learn along with them.
Mm-hmm.
I am certain that there's some things I have never learned at school.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was just not paying attention to the teacher. I keep telling myself, is this what the teacher was trying to tell me all along?
Yes, yes.
But now at my age and I'm
with
hearing
maturity,
it over.
You know,
yes,
mature,
yes.
Right.
And now I'm understanding so much more.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, there's time for other activities. Major time. Because a 9-to-3 classroom at school, obviously you're dealing with more children. You have to move between mm-hmm. the classroom to go to the music room, to go to mm-hmm. some other area. There's a lot of things to navigate mm-hmm. there. But at home, we don't have those problems.
Yeah.
So there's more than enough time. For instance, my son, Nathan, he gets up at 6:30. He's an early riser.
Mm.
He gets up, he takes up his math and English book. And by the time I get up at 7:30 or a little later, he is pretty much finished that topic.
Yeah.
And we're able to move on to something else.
Mm.
And he loves to draw. Mm. Or he loves to drum, which means he has extra time in his day
to
do those things, to pursue other activities.
Yes.
So that's one really great advantage about it, that you have more time mm-hmm. to pursue.
It was a blessing seeing him at family service on Sunday when I was drumming.
He was drumming. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter is into dance.
Yeah.
And my other son is into guitar.
Okay.
So they have time. Yes. So by the time
the skills are coming out, they have time to develop the skills.
1:30, 2:00, they finish their work. They can go and they can practice other things. They can draw.
Mm-hmm.
They can, you know, they can go out to rehearsals and so on.
So tell me some of the methods you think you would have used to instill God's value in your children. You know, let them know how God sees them and God has a purpose. The word is purpose for them. How do you try to bring up that to them?
Well, certainly we have a biblical curriculum. We have a Bible curriculum. So we have maths and English and science and all that, but we have Bible as our curriculum.
Okay.
We have our devotions, our mornings. Sometimes we miss it. We're not perfect, you know, but we try to keep it going.
Yeah.
And we have an actual Bible curriculum that teaches them about God.
Okay.
So we can discuss it. Sometimes if we miss it in the morning, we've done it at night as well when daddy's home.
Yes.
At night, he would pray with the children as well before bed. So we try to made a point of encouraging them in the Word of God. And all the skills that they have in terms of dance and drum and guitar or whatever they pick up, we keep telling them, make sure you use it to the glory of God.
Yes.
We make sure to emphasize that what you have been given is given by God. It's not just you got up this morning, you have these great talents.
Yes.
God has given you it, and He has given you it for a purpose. Mm-hmm. Use it for Him. So those are some of the ways we really try to push that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What he was saying, I want to say here now, we know that years ago, whether parents go to the church or not, they insist that their children go to church, go to Sunday school.
Yes.
And that's where lots of these values and we're taught. And
certainly,
where children get to recognize that, oh, God cares of me, that sort of thing. And lots of the things that we have, I have no statistics, so I can't make any dogmatic declaration. But I'm saying that it made an impact on us, and I believe that if parents will get back to getting their children back in Sunday school and hearing about, learn about God, because God is there first, and I believe that this will help curb some of the violence that we have. We have to think of the next generation.
Yes.
What is this generation passing on? A legacy. So we have to work with this, because in the Bible, the thing is Joshua generation. The Bible says a generation that did not know the Lord. So what are we doing? Are we building a generation that will say in Bible that there's a generation that did not know the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
We need to get back to our basics. We need to get back to getting our children in church, setting proper examples, having to realize that God loves them, God cares for them, and getting the scripture and showing, oh, God values you. Look what God says about you.
Yes.
Right? God said that if anybody offends you or hurt you, you know, it'd be better for them to have a large stone in their neck. That seems so harsh, but he was stressing the importance of children. And God said, you have to start with the children. We were children first before we became adults.
Yes.
Right? And it's responsible for all adults to keep leading the children in the right direction. So that is so interesting. That environment is so good. So I really want to commend you, you know, for that. Now, there are those persons who think that, who do not recommend homeschooling because they think that it robs children of the opportunity to socialize with other children. What, tell me about that. What do you think about that?
Well, yes, there's always that big question of socialization. I keep getting asked that. Mm. And I know that Richard Medlin from Stetson University, he's suggesting that people mean different things when they say socialization. It means different things to different people. You know, some people think of social activities, the opportunity to play with friends. And certainly that is not an issue with my children because, well, as you would know, we just left Vacation Bible School.
Right.
And it's not at our own church, Blaisdell. It's at another church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they are part of the class there.
And I think the thing about relationships, how can you build relationships? How they, you know, solve conflicts.
Solve conflicts,
Older groups and that. Talk to me about that. So you find that your children are, you know, they're still growing. They're still growing
still
the process.
Get,
but you're getting some of that. Did you?
Definitely. I mean, they're siblings.
Yes.
They will quarrel.
Yes.
They will argue. They will fight over simple little things sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
And those are opportunities.
Yes, to teach them.
To teach them.
Management.
Yes. Those are teachable moments.
Yes.
So those are the things that are available to us. So when they talk of socialization, some people seem to think about social influence, how they conform to majority norms.
Yes.
You know, but I keep telling them the majority isn't always right.
Right, that's right. You gotta let them know that is so true, that is truth. That, you know, can't always follow the norms.
Follow the
norms. What's happening in our schools from primary school back now.
Yes.
We don't want our children to follow that. That's not norm that we want.
No, no, no.
That's not normal for Barbados.
No.
Right.
I know we talk about social exposure, introduction to the culture and the values of a people, but certainly we are part of the culture. We are able to teach them the values of our society.
We
are just as equipped as any teacher, I believe, to teach our children respect, to teach them
honesty,
integrity, respect for the community, the environment, and all those things.
And not only that, I want to stress, we teach them respect for their peers as well.
Yes.
Teach them respect for one another. Many times they don't have respect for one another, so they can't pass it on to adults. They can't give up what you don't
have
in.
That's right. That's right.
And if children respect one another, they wouldn't want to kill one another and fight and carry on, because what I do to you, I would want you to do to me. So I would want my return to be good. The golden rule comes in here. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yes.
Yes. And these are things we have to get our children understanding.
You know, on another point, Sister Eversley, when I was in school, I learned that socialization was taught by the family.
That's right.
The main institution of socialization was the family. And then all the other institutions backed it up. They were the ones that would help it along. They would reinforce it.
Yeah.
So certainly, we cannot keep coming down on our schools, quarreling with them every time something goes wrong. We say, oh, the school, because we expect the school to do everything.
And the school can't.
The home has to be right. The first place to teach it.
It don't matter what. The government could come with all kinds of plans. The school, even the church, because the church got a lot of knocking. We can come with all these things. Unless some of that is started in the home and reinforced in the home, we are still out in the sea.
We are still there. Albert Einstein said education is not the learning of facts.
No.
Not just that, but the training of minds to think.
Exactly.
And that's where we have to
think
to keep
and know what is wrong.
What is right, what is wrong.
Should I do this? Or should I do that? That kind of thing. We have to get our children to become critical thinkers.
Yes.
Not following the norm. Not following the crowd.
That's
you know, when somebody comes up with somebody, said, no, I don't think we should use that, do that, because that is not good. Mm-hmm. I was told by my great-granddaughter at school, when the children are fighting or quarreling and that sort of thing, she would go up and say, excuse me, you all know that all of y'all are God's children? All y'all are God's children? Or we are all God's children?
Yeah.
Exactly. And God don't want us fighting and bickering one another. So these things are things that we have to learn to teach our children in the home. The mission will be passed on from the home. The home is what builds the society.
Yes.
We are whether you like it or not. The society, the church, the education, wherever. If you don't get it in the home, even the community now, you know, and we know we don't have the extended families now to help the children.
Yes,
that's when some of us would have been able to do so well, etc. So this community have to come in and help, and therefore the children have to learn to be taught to respect people in the community, respect people who are older than you. We need to get back to the basics, get back to those things.
And, that is respect for God.
And you got to start with fear of God.
Yes.
Respect for God. Yes. All right? Respect for God. If you don't have respect for God, I'm telling you, you don't have respect for anybody else. Whether you like it or not, right?
Yes.
It's not academic thing. It is what we are supposed to, you know, teach our children. So you have been having some good programs. I know you're having camp. Tell us a little bit about the camp coming
up. Oh, yes. We have children's camp. Mm-hmm. Now, here's another opportunity to reinforce.
Exactly.
Reinforce those values and to teach children that they are valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And our children's camp is taking place from the 17th to the 24th of July.
Mm-hmm.
We are catering for ages 6 to 12, and it's taking place at the Eastern Caribbean Bible College in Jezreel, St. Philip. This is in the area Ruby, across from King George Park.
Mm-hmm.
The registration fee is $25 and the fee is $175. And it's called In Search of a Superhero.
And that's what we need. Superhero Jesus, our superhero. And then, you know, we have all kinds of heroes. And if we link up with this superhero, these things will fall into play. You'll still have some, you know, negative things happening here and there. That sort of thing.
Because we live in a fallen world.
We live in a fallen world. But it will not be so massive like it is right now.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to understand. We are actually tainting the name of Barbados. You know, there's a story in the Bible about Jericho. The Bible says the land was well situated, but the waters were bad. And the land was unproductive because the waters were bad. So the people complained to Elisha.
Mm-hmm.
And Elisha said, bring me a new bowl and some salt. And he put it in the water. And he said, these waters will be healed.
Yes.
And I'm saying, we need that. We need some healing of the land in Barbados.
Yes.
Because otherwise, we will come to a place where we are unproductive.
That's true.
We afford to be unproductive?
No, we cannot.
We have to move on. Right.
Yeah.
So we need to get our children back where they ought to be. We need a parent reformation. We parents would listen. For once, listen. If you love your children, they're first God's own.
Yes.
And then yours. And if you really love your children, try to get your children
back to
God. Get them back to God.
Yes.
So we are really happy today that you were able to join us. And that's a topic we'd like to explore some more. But we don't have the time to explore some more, but I just want to say that as a homeschool teacher, you're doing so much with your children, and especially when you could carry them up to secondary level. So you do bring people to get to help, give talks and do different things with them.
Well, we have a music teacher, and again, the flexibility comes in here, because she can have music on Saturdays,
and
she can have it on evenings.
Yes,
yes, and as we go on, I'm sure that we will solicit the help of others, you know, as we go into exams,
right. We pray God's blessings on you, on your family, your children. And I want to congratulate the two of your children who won the international quiz in Indianapolis last year.
They were part of that
team. And they won the quiz. You see, that's fruit, you know, that's rewards, you know, that is rewards. So we really want to thank God for what you're doing. And we pray that public school, you don't have enough time to do some of the things that you're doing. But I'm saying that even in the home, parents could get more involved in the children's education. Because sure they do their homework and all those kinds of things. We really need to step up. God puts priority on children. He starts with the children. Parents, you got to start with your children. That's your responsibility. And the church and the school, we have to put the children first.
Yes.
And many times the adults get put first. A lot of money is spent on the adults to have programs. Spend the money on the children. Invest in the children.
They are your gift.
They're your gift. You have a future.
From God.
So we really want to thank God for you today and all that you will be able to go through with us. And at this time, we are going to pray. You know, the Prime Minister was saying this weekend, we should pray for our nation. And they want to pray, start praying for the nation. And after that prayer, I would hope that we can hear that song. Let us pray for our children. Let us pray. All right? To close off. Father in heaven, we hallow your name today. Truly, you are a very big God. Truly, you are a very wise God. You are a loving, caring Father who looks after your children. You say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. You deserve our worship, our praise, our thanksgiving. We thank you for the last three sessions as we try to instill in parents and all those who have the responsibility to guide children in the home, the church, the communities, the school, the children's homes. We don't want to forget them either.
Yes.
Father, may your Holy Spirit speak to them. May they open their ears and hearts to hear his voice. He alone has the ability to guide us into all truth. It's not the politicians, not the preacher. It is the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. Our nation needs to include you in our lives. The children of our nation need a spiritual foundation. Without that, they will fall like the house built on the sand as they are falling right now. We pray for good adult guidance with these children, that they will help them to understand the value God places in children or for children. Righteousness still exalts a nation, and sin still brings reproaches. Have mercy on our nation and show us the path to take so that we can experience peace and deliverance from the evil that wants to consume us here in Barbados. In Jesus' name, we thank you again. So at this time, we will close our program with, let us pray for our children. Let us pray.
Let us pray for our children. Let us pray. Let us pray for our children. Let us pray. There's an enemy among us, trying to take their souls astray. Let us pray for our children. Let us pray. We must fight for our children. We must fight. We must fight for our children. We must fight. There's an enemy among us, trying to take our children from us. Let us pray for our children. Let us pray. Come and lay them on the altar one more time. Tell Satan, you can't have my children. They are mine. He can't cross that crimson flood. They are covered with Jesus' blood. Come and lay them on the altar one more time. Let us pray for our children. let us pray. Let us pray for our children. Let us pray. There's an enemy among us trying to take their souls astray. We must pray for our children. We must pray. We must pray. Let us pray.